George, let me just ask you a question about angiogenesis inhibition and tumor dormancy and micrometastatic breast cancer. I've heard you say that there may be a synergy between angiogenesis inhibition and the use of chemotherapy. And also the clinical trial designs adjuvantly have to link the two together because you can't give a patient a no-chemo treatment arm. Two questions is, how do you find out if these agents are useful as monotherapy unless you do a TEACH-style clinical trial design? And second question is it possible that the angiogenic environment of micrometastatic disease in the immediate post-treatment period is different from the tumor dormancy period? In other words, could our chemotherapy, our radiation, and our surgery be actually provoking angiogenesis in the micrometastatic disease, which can be abrogated by angiogenesis inhibition? So maybe the benefit of angiogenesis inhibition given concurrently with chemotherapy is to abrogate the harm that chemotherapy does.
Those are both great questions. Of course, we don't have much answer for it. An even more basic question is, what do we mean by tumor dormancy?
Right.
Is tumor dormancy just a few microscopic cells that are floating around that have lodged somewhere and are waiting to pop up several years later, or is tumor dormancy, as actually was suggested by Judah Folkman and his colleagues, actually an active process where you actually have actively dividing cancer cells that are wrapped around a blood vessel but haven't undergone an angiogenic switch that allows them to take off by creating new blood vessels? Now, which of those two forms of dormancy is present in a particular patient might determine whether or not the patient might benefit from an anti-angiogenic agent or not.
You know, I had the privilege of being a co-author on a paper that's just about to be published with some of the top laboratory scientists in tumor dormancy. It's a fascinating paper, actually. And really, it provoked a lot of thought about this mechanism for me. And I still maintain that exploring the use of angiogenesis inhibition in early-stage cancer patients in general, all solid tumor malignancy patients, could turn out to be quite different in the sort of chronic phase of observation as opposed to the immediate acute phase of post-diagnosis. There's a lot of evidence, especially in hormone-dependent breast cancer, that angiogenesis could be provoked and so on and so forth by the surgery, by the treatment, by the phase of the menstrual cycle, all kinds of things. And then later on, in the sort of MA17-style way, you could have truly dormant, the so-called pre-angiogenic or angiogenic micrometastases that the models in the laboratory have been well established. Those tumors may or may not be exquisitely sensitive to these agents as monotherapy.
Absolutely.
There are two very interesting clinical experiments that speak to this. There are many others, but two that I'm fond of. One was a study out of Norway by a woman named Wiedersvang. It was published in, I think, JCO in Clinical Cancer Research in a couple of different papers, in which they did bone marrow biopsies and aspirations and looked for DTCs, disseminated tumor cells, in patients very far out, 3 or 4 or 5 years out after systemic therapy. And about 10 to 15% of the patients had detectable cells that are clearly cancer cells. These are not false positives. And then over the subsequent 2 or 3 years, they have a worse prognosis. So that in and of itself is important. But what's most interesting to me is that they don't have a terrible prognosis. They have a worse prognosis than if they didn't have cells, but only about 20% of them recurred over the next 3 or 4 years. Most of them didn't. And likewise, Jonathan Ehr and his group, first author is a woman named Meng, looking at circulating tumor cells now instead of bone marrow cells. And it was a less systematic study, but it was about 30 or 40 patients who were anywhere from 7 to 15 years out. And they found circulating epithelial cells that were angiosomic. These are clearly cancer cells, or clearly what we would call a cancer cell. May or may not have true metastatic potential, but they're there. And I've begun to wonder if they're like NIH3T3 cells, where there is dormancy actually cells that have gone down the road but don't quite have the next hit and are just waiting for the next hit to take off. This actually goes back to the extended adjuvant therapy. Are there ways for us to identify the people who are at much higher risk to recur after 10 years or whatever, so that we don't willy-nilly treat everybody with an AI? Again, I'll say it. I think treating everybody who's ER positive with an AI for 15 years could, in the long run, have really serious health consequences, and it'd be much better to focus on the people who are not.
So could giving everybody the wrong treatment up front.
Yeah.